How's everybody doing this morning? It's a nice morning. It's supposed to be 47 on Tuesday. That's the day. That's the day. If you got last year, I don't think I had any nails left because I was biting them all winter, staring at the trampoline I didn't take down. As my kids say, "Dad, is the trampoline gonna break?" And we have record-breaking snow. No, kids, it's gonna be fine. So Tuesday, I'll be taking down my trampoline. Next week, ask me if I take down my trampoline, and if I haven't, please. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue our series called Heroes of the Faith. This week, we're going to look at our favorite boat maker, Noah. All right. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read the first three verses. This is kind of the preface of this Bible. It's all about heroes of the faith, talking about the great exploits and things that men of faith have done, men and women of faith have done throughout Scripture, and it's going to be good. Amen? Amen. So let's dive right into it. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction," everybody say conviction, "of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Say, was not made. It was not made out of things that are visible, but by the word of God. Skipping down to verse 7, we're going to camp here today. It says, "By faith Noah, warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." If you would, let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that's new this morning. God, I just pray that you would be here among us in this room, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be moving on our hearts, doing your ministry. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears this morning to what you want to speak to us. And Father, I pray that you would give me words from heaven, Lord, that are not my own. Lord, that we would be built up as the body of Christ. Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. We just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to also say quickly, we're not going to rush this necessarily, but if you are a veteran or a family member of a direct family member of a veteran, would you please stand up? Could we honor these people today? Thank you. You can be seated. I apologize. Last Monday was Veterans Day. I forgot, and I apologize. But thank you, veterans, people in the service. There's the Bible says, "Greater love knows no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends." And in a very practical way, our armed forces are laying down their lives, laying down their everything for us in this nation. So we thank you. We appreciate sacrifices that you've made as families and as individuals. So, but last week, we looked at Enoch's life and how he didn't live long, but he walked with God and he cheated death. Anybody remember the two major points? Anybody remember them? Your life matters. And what, because our life matters, what should we do with it? Don't worry, it's online. Come on, guys. Walk, invest in what matters. So your life matters, and we need to invest in what matters. Amen? And just like Enoch cheated death, we can cheat death through faith in Christ too. Amen? We can be seated in heavenly places. So our goal is application. If your life matters, if you know your life matters, and if you know that what you invest in matters, we want to live that way, not just know about that. Amen? You can know a lot of stuff. You can read a book about marine biology, but you are not a marine biologist. You can know a lot, and that is part of the issues facing our culture today. Is it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, but we have knowledge at our fingertips. I've been with groups of friends before, and we've played this game where we've thought of this thing that we can't think of, and we've stopped ourselves from Googling it. Stop. Don't Google it. Don't Google it. Let's try to search our brains and see if we can remember this thing. Because God gave us a brain, and we want to use it. Amen? Google makes it pretty easy to not use what God gave you. But I also like Google, so Skynet. Just kidding. All right, I'd like to start with a story. So about in 2014 or 15, I can't remember the exact month. I think it was like a spring month, April, something like that. I went home from lunch. I worked close by. I worked 2 miles from home. So I go home on lunch. I go home from lunch, grab lunch, talk to Meg and the kids, and go back to work. I know more as shut the door, getting back to work, and Meg texts me, come home now. There's water in the basement. So I run back home. I should back up. 2 weeks prior, the basement, I have two small kids and they still take naps, so I still had free time. And the basement was my domain. Meg didn't like the basement. We originally bought the house. We had enough money to fix up the upstairs, recarpet the upstairs and everything else. But we thought, let's at least like shampoo the carpets downstairs. Huge mistake. There are many large dogs that lived there, and after we shampooed, we also had a large dog that lived there. And you could smell him if you opened the basement door. The basement was my domain, and I spent time down there, and I would relax down there, and I would be refreshed down there. And it used to be like a daycare, so there was like daycare yellow, daycare blue, daycare baby blue, daycare red, daycare colors all over the walls. And the carpet was really gross. It was probably the cheapest carpet that money could have bought at that time from the previous owner. Nothing against that, but I get daycare kids are going to destroy things. Might as well keep it replaceable. But now we lived there, and it was my domain. So it was kind of janky, so I was like, I really want to redo the basement. I really want to make the basement nice. So I thought to myself, we don't have any money, so we can't do that. But I talked to Meg. So I prayed about it. I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know this is where I really like to relax. Would you help us redo the basement? Careful what you pray. So we decided to invest in some money. We painted the walls. That was even a blessing because we put all of our stuff over to the side room, all on top of tables, on top of tables, on top of tables. Everything was consolidated. We painted. I spent probably a whole day cutting in one wall, and then a friend of ours who is a painter came by while I was at work and painted the whole basement. It was a huge blessing. So painting the walls was our first start. That's what we could afford. We redid our basement. So, but it wasn't redone. But it was good. It was the first step. A week after we painted it, fast forward, work, get a call, basement's flooding, come home right now. I come home, there is sewage coming up, water, just mainly water, sorry, mainly water, but it was not normal water, and coming up out of the drain, like gushing up out of the drain in my laundry room, crazy panic. There's like an inch of water in my basement. I call my dad. Somehow my uncle and my cousin were in town, and they happened to have a water pump. And we had a sandbag. We put a sandbag on the drain. We were able to mitigate it, and it didn't get higher than an inch. Because of the super cheap, junky carpet, the baseboard was an inch off the ground, so the baseboard never really got damaged. It was going to cost us a fortune to redo that. Water damage is not cheap, but I knew a guy who worked for one of those companies, and he said, you don't have to pay us. Here's what you do. And so he helped me professionally clean my basement, and it was kind of a nightmare. It was a total nightmare. But we threw away our couch, we threw away our TV thing, we threw away our carpet, we threw away tons of stuff. But because we had decided to paint, almost all of our valuables were on tables in the other room without carpet. I talked to the city. The city said, hey, you can fill out this form. The issue was on it wasn't between your house and the main line. Flom came, or LaRoche's or whatever, and they looked. It wasn't on my line. It was on a city line that backed up into my house. So they said, you can fill out this thing. They might reimburse you for some drywall and stuff like that. I filled out the thing for reimbursement. I submitted it to the county. To have our new carpet, to have all the cleaning supplies purchased and done, to have the new carpet installed with pad and everything else, and pay the guy who did it, it came up to $1,995.73. The city said, we will cover $2,000. So it was amazing. So God brought a flood, a terrible, terrible catastrophe, and flooded my basement. But in doing so, God gave me a new basement for free, for paint, for the cost of paint. And I didn't even paint. My friend did, out of the kindness of his heart. So be careful what you pray for, folks, because God might just answer your prayers. So we looked at Enoch's life last week, and he walked with God, but we have to trust God's process. Amen? Regardless of what it looks like, I had not imagined that the events would unfold to redo my basement the way that they did. But Noah was a man who trusted God's process. Amen? The countless days, months, and years spent building the ark, as it sat there on dry ground, would have tested many people's faith. We're talking lots and lots and lots and lots of years to build the ark. It's gigantic. But the Bible recognizes, and you could put it up there, Genesis 6, 8, and 9, the Bible recognizes Noah as someone who found favor in the eyes of the Lord, as a righteous man who was blameless in his generation. And it also mentions, we learned last week, Enoch walked with God. Noah is the only other person in Scripture that it says he walked with God. And if you look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, walked with God literally means he pleased God. He pleased him. He's the only other person that it says that about, Enoch and Noah. Noah is truly a hero of the faith, and his life shows us how we can be great in our own faith as well. Amen? So today I want to look, we could dive deep into the waters and the details of the flood. Sorry. But instead I'd like to camp on Hebrews 11:7. So we're going to camp on Hebrews 11:7 and go over three principles Noah's life teaches us about our faith and how we should walk it out day by day. So, first, just to summarize the flood story. So God created everybody. Adam and Eve fell. Over the course of time, humanity spiraled into unbridled wickedness. It said that every thought and intention of man's heart was evil at all times. That's a pretty depressing state. It says in Genesis that God was sorry that he even made them. That is the most depressing verse in the entire Bible. So God decided that he's going to wipe out humanity, but Noah found favor in his eye. God commands Noah to build an ark and that he would establish a covenant with Noah. Noah builds the ark and gathers the animal, the animals. The whole earth is flooded nonstop for 40 days and the waters reside on the earth for 150 days, killing everything except Noah and his family and the animals that are brought into the ark. It's on every nursery wall, but it is the most heart-wrenching, terrible, sad story of God's judgment and salvation that we have, almost. But after that, the water subsided. God made an amazing covenant with Noah, demonstrated through the rainbow that his mercy will be forever and he will never flood the earth like that again. Amen. So that's kind of our backdrop. But now let's read verse 7 again in Hebrews 11. So it says, by faith, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. The first point that I have for you is faith transcends circumstances. Faith transcends circumstances. Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Events as yet unseen. By faith, Noah transcended his circumstances. Noah believed what God said, even though he didn't see the events described. His faith went beyond his circumstances. There had never been a worldwide catastrophic flood before. You got to realize that. We read this in retrospect and we're like, oh, of course Noah built the ark. No, it took him 75 to 100 years to build the ark. I'm 30. That's not even a third of the way done. Of the ark, Noah lived to be 950, by the way. But he was 500 when God asked him to build the ark. Some scholars believe that it had never even rained on the earth up until this point. We know, based on Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 specifically, it says that before the fall, at least we know, we don't know necessarily after the fall because it's not directly stated, but we at least know before the fall, God said that it had never rained on the earth before. And it specifically says that the earth gained its sustenance and nutrients from mist, streams, and rivers that came up from the ground. It had never rained. So you have this guy building this boat that's the size of how many football fields? 1.5. A guy and his family, 4 people, building this giant spectacle on dry ground. And it had never even rained before. What's he going to do? There were no cranes. Like, are you building a new house, Noah? What are you doing? See, with this possibility, Noah would have looked pretty goofy. He would have looked pretty goofy. But what if he would have waited until it had started raining? See, faith needs to transcend circumstances. What if, so if it takes, let's be generous, if it took 40 years to build the ark. What if Noah would have waited to build the ark until it started raining? What would have happened? He would have been toast. He would have been toast. If we walk by sight and not by faith, the enemy can trick us. I want to show you a picture. How many of you guys have heard of the saying moral relativity? Meaning, what's true for you is true for you is true for me is true for you. That's your truth. Truths. Relative truth. This is, I love stuff like this. I love stuff like this because it helps see how fooled our eyes are. From different perspectives, if you look at this way, you see a square. But if you come over here and you look at this way, whoops, you see a circle. And what the postmodern era that we are living in has said, it is true that it's a square. And it is true for another person because it's a circle. And there's no absolute truth. What you believe is what you believe in. What's true for you is true for you. Is that true? No. Granted, it's a different perspective, but perspective and perception is not truth. What is going on here? An optical illusion, basically. It's a trick. It's a trap. What is really happening is there's a cylinder suspended in air, and light is being shined at it from two different perspectives. That is the truth. The truth. And you might believe a truth that what's hanging there is really a blue square. You would have a partial perception of truth. You would have a partial perspective of truth. And you might say it's a yellow circle. Well, you have a partial perspective of the truth, but not what's actually happening. People in this world we all think different ways. We think different ways because of biases, experiences, backgrounds, upbringings, etc., etc., etc. All contribute to the way we view the world, our worldview. However, again, I'll say perspective and perception does not equal truth. And we need to build our worldview, the way we see the world, off of the truth, not a truth. Because a truth doesn't exist. Now, I also like to say it doesn't hurt to be nice, okay? Can we just get that out of the way? Nobody likes a truth cop, okay? Be nice to people. But we believe the truth, the truth. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, not an opinion, a perspective, and a lifestyle. Jesus isn't a truth. He is the embodiment of the truth. And it says, the Word, in John chapter 1, the Word, the truth, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. Our worldview and our perspective needs to always be based in Scripture. Otherwise, you could be tricked. You look at optical illusions, our eyes are so tricked. You take psychoactive drugs, your brain is tricking your eyes into seeing things that aren't real. You're tricked. We are so easily tricked. I love optical illusions because it shows me, verse 2 Corinthians 5:17, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're building your life on what you can see and what you can perceive, you're missing it completely because faith transcends our circumstances. John 20:29 says, Jesus said to them, to Thomas, and you know what? God's patient with people. We tell Thomas that he is the doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. That's how we find the guy in the Bible. Where's doubting Thomas? Oh, John 20. That's so unfair. Thomas is the guy who said, Jesus, if you're going, we're going to go with you and die with you. Just because someone has a hard time doesn't mean you get to label them as doubting this, doubting that. God is patient with people. Amen? Jesus said to Thomas, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Noah did not see, and Noah believed. There are certain things in our lives that God wants us to exercise our faith for, and we are just waiting for rain to build the boat. Come on. There are certain ways that God wants you to step out in faith. Indiana Jones. Anybody? Come on. The penitent man. Yeah, come on. Indiana Jones had to step, and then he could throw the beads. And when you take a step, that's when we're walking in faith. And the enemy tries to trick us. Like I said earlier, he tries to trick us into fake faith, where we're waiting for circumstantial evidence to back up what God has said. And that's not always a bad thing. It's oftentimes good to get affirmation and confirm a word that's spoken to you to test it against the word of God. But don't let the enemy trick you into fake faith, which is really doubt, which is really waiting for God to prove it. What did we sing this morning? You have paid the highest price. You have proven your great love for us through the cross. We wait for relationships to be restored before we forgive people. We wait for our relationship with God to get better before we read our Bible, fast, and pray. We wait for financial blessing before we start tithing. We wait for fruit before we put the seed in the ground. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy trick you. By faith, put the seed in the ground. Don't look at your circumstances. By faith, those seeds will never, if you wait for those seeds in your hand to turn into apples, you're going to be waiting a long time. But if you, by faith, go beyond your circumstances and place them in the ground, you'll see fruit. Amen? Noah's faith went beyond circumstances. Second, faith needs action. Faith needs action. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. He constructed an ark. He got to work. He got to action. Although Noah couldn't see the oncoming flood, he believed God and obeyed his words and his command to build an ark. He was moved to action. You guys with me this morning? All right. And it says, in reverent fear, he started building. In reverence, in a respect for God being who he is, being holy, being worthy to be trusted, being worthy to be obeyed, he obeyed him. Noah's faith had action. Real faith is always, 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 say always, always partnered with action. Always. There's always, when you want to exercise your faith, there's always something to do. Now, whether that's something physical or something you need to do in your heart that's non-tangible, there's always action that accompanies faith. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 2 when the people asked him, how are we supposed to be saved? What did he say? Repent and be baptized. Action, action. Put your faith in Christ. Action in your heart and put your faith in Christ. Repent of sin. James 2:14-17 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can the faith save him? Could Noah, knowing that an ark was going to take him through the flood, save him? Just knowing that. No, he had to build it. He had to build it. He had to have action. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. That's a Bible for token Christian pat answer. Without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, we know this, church, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. But to back up, do works save us? No. No. No, salvation is a gift. Salvation is only a gift received by faith through by grace through faith. But by faith, Noah got to work. Hebrews 11:6, a verse earlier, says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith, because you need to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who, what? Seek him. Does that sound like action? Will God reward you? Absolutely. But what's the action? Seek him. We can have faith, but we have to put it to action. I'll get personal. I can have faith. Oh, man. Help me, Jesus. I can have faith that eating correct portions of healthy food will change my overall health and physique. I know this to be true. But if I keep eating pizza, it is only words and my faith is dead. Oh, I need to repent. See, I'm trying to lighten the mood, guys. Come on. The Bible refers to belief. A couple verses later of that passage in James, the Bible refers to belief in this context. I only have belief of the concept of healthy eating if I do that. I have a belief in that. And the Bible in this context talks about that belief as an acceptance or a conviction that something is true. It's just knowing something. I believe that if I drop this, it will fall. It's just knowing something. But I could believe that all day long, but unless I drop it, I'm not exercising my faith. And I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. Oh, there it is. For instance, back to the example, that diet and exercise can change your life physically. But faith is actually getting out there and doing it. Because you need to have action with faith. It's like one coin, faith and action. It's one coin. You can't separate the two. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You know what? Martin Luther, for instance, Martin Luther had such a revelation that righteousness was by faith as he studied the book of Romans, that it started the whole Reformation, and he nailed the 99 theses on the wall. 95, sorry. You know, four, let's give or take four debate points. But Martin Luther had a personal problem with the book of James because it was so works-based. And in his time, the Catholic Church was very works-based. Martin Luther was just a good Catholic that wanted to believe the Bible rightly in that time. And he didn't really like James. It kind of made him, ugh. And you could read quotes. But because James couples faith with works. But it's not just works. It's not works. It's not doing more. It's because we believe we do. If you do more, you won't get saved more. You can't be saved by works. You cannot. The better you do on your own, apart from faith, the worse off it is for you, because you're trusting in yourself and not God. But faith in God always is with works. Amen? Faith needs action. So are we believing God or are we putting our faith in God? Come on, let's do that today. Let's put our faith in God. Noah had faith in God. Noah, by faith, built an ark. And I'm going to wrap up with this last point. So by faith, the first one, by faith, faith transcends circumstances. Faith needs action. Last one, by faith in Christ, we're saved. It says, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Noah built an ark, but it says that he went in Genesis, it says that when he went in, the Lord shut him in. Noah built one door on the ark, and when he went inside, Noah didn't close it. God closed it. It says the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, 15 through 16. I just cut out the middle stuff. You want to go to the next one? Maybe it's not there. I forgot it. Nope. Go back. Just leave it there. So when Noah went in the ark, the Lord shut him in. So because of humanity's wickedness, the wrath of God was poured out through the flood, and only those who were shut up in the ark were saved. By faith, Noah built the ark for the saving of his family. Remember earlier how I said Noah walked with God? Put that up there. Noah walked with God. He's the only other person besides Enoch who walked with God. And Enoch walked with God, pleased God so much, he didn't even die. He was taken up. But the only other person that says he walked with God is Noah. Noah pleased God. God was specifically, now get this, pay attention to this if I may. God was specifically pleased with the man who made a way for the salvation of his household. God was specifically pleased with the man who made a way, who constructed an ark for the salvation of his family. You know who else God was pleased with? Jesus. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Have you seen the dove in any other story in the Bible? When the ark landed to see if it was safe to go out, Noah sent a dove. And the dove came back and rested on the ark until it didn't come back. The Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him, Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Noah was the pleasing servant who built an ark for the saving of his family. And Jesus Christ, is now the pleasing Son who is the ark for the saving of all those in his family. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. And this is why Noah was commended for his faith, because he was building, he was crafting year after year, after persecution, after persecution, after pestering naysayer, after pestering naysayer. He was building and crafting a way that his family might be saved. And Jesus lived a perfect life and sweat blood through prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing to make a way that anybody in the family of Christ might be saved. This is the gospel. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. John chapter 1 verse 12 says that if we receive Christ, if we receive Jesus and believe in him, have faith in him, in his name, we have been given the right to become children in his family. Romans talks about everything that Christ did was so that the Spirit of God, which is called the Spirit of adoption, can dwell in us. We, through what Christ has done, by faith, can become sons and daughters in God's household. And he sent an ark. Though our sins are red as scarlet, his scarlet blood shed on the cross makes them white as snow. Though we were deserving of a flood to wipe us out, God made a way that by faith in him, that if we are shut up in Christ, if we are hidden in Christ, we will not die but have eternal life. Noah's faith went beyond circumstances. It was moved to action, and he knew it was the only way to be saved. Faith in Christ. Let's stand together. The Psalms say that David says, you saved me because you delight in me. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that our sin deserves punishment and wrath. And that's what we see in the story of the flood. But it was God's delight in his son. We can be hidden in Christ this morning. If you've never put your faith in Jesus personally, maybe you believe that Jesus can save. Maybe you have an acknowledge and acceptance that Jesus can save you. But you've never put that into practice. You've never lived it out. You've never actually put your faith in Christ. You've never actually maybe repented for the sin that was the very thing that brought about the judgment on our lives. God delights in showing mercy over judgment, and he sent Jesus to make a way that we might be saved. God wants to be in your life more than we can even imagine. He made us. He handcrafted us in our mother's womb. It says it never leaves us or forsakes us. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you that when we put our faith in you, it goes beyond any circumstances, anything that our life might be saying, our circumstances might be saying. God, it goes so far beyond that. And we thank you for the testimony of Noah, where although he didn't see the things to come, he believed in who you said you were and what you said was going to happen and how you said it was going to be. He was going to be saved through it, Lord. Lord, we thank you that Noah put his faith into action. God, and I pray that you would help us to put our faith into action. Lord, that we would have works that accompany our faith, not that we would live our lives for approval or do it out of a works mentality, but Father, that we would be full of faith, but full of action. God, and we thank you that there's only one way that we can be saved. From our trials, from our tribulations, from our hard times, from hell, Lord. You've given us Christ. Lord, you've given us the picture of the ark. Lord, you come to save us. And Lord, you save us because you delight in us. Father, we thank you that you're our ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, that you send help from your sanctuary on high, like the Psalms say. Lord, that you came and you lived a life as a man. You gave it all for us that we might be made a part of your family. And Father, I just pray for anyone who doesn't know that yet or hasn't put their trust in you. Father, I ask that you would help us to not just believe in you, but to put our faith in you. Lord, to live for you, to walk with you. Lord, that it would be said of us that we walked with God. Lord, we repent of our sin. Lord, we repent of the things that keep us from you, and we ask that you would draw us near and draw us into your family. Lord, we thank you for the life and the testimony of Noah, and we ask that you would stir our faith to action, and we would be able to tell our neighbors about it. We would be able to tell our family about it. Lord, as Thanksgiving comes up and as we're celebrating with family members, Lord, I pray that you would help us to use situations and circumstances for your glory. Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified through it all. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. You can be